in Pakistan. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said to his holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness performing all our days. And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way before you, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those who are in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path.
Let's just pray before Miranda comes to share from God's word. Dear Lord, it's amazing to look at a prophecy so long ago and to know that did indeed come to fruition, Lord, that you are faithful. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of studying your word, Lord. We thank you for the message that you placed on Miranda's heart, and just pray that you'd really speak through her and give us ears to listen, Lord. And we pray that the words would penetrate to our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, dear family. Ah, that's better. We're going to focus this morning on the hope of Christmas. But rather than thinking through it like we usually do, we're going to imagine our way through it. So it might feel a little different. We all right? So I don't want you to take off your thinking cap, but I do want you to kind of pull your imagining beanie over the top. Okay? I'm told it's a look. For those of you who are wondering about the wisdom of imagination, when we're hearing from God's word, let me reassure and encourage you that the Holy Spirit is just as able to use our imaginings as he is our thoughts, maybe even more. And in fact, he does it all the time. So if you're ready, let's trust him and let's dive in. Hello. My name is Elizabeth. I'm the wife of Zechariah, a priest of our village in the division of Abijah, and we live in a little village in the hill country of Judea, just outside Jerusalem. And then there's my son, John. He's 2 years old. Now, I know what you're thinking. The dear old bird's confused. Surely she means her grandson. Or maybe her son's 22. Or 32, but no, my son is 2 years old. I don't blame you, it's pretty hard to believe, but 2 years ago I had a son at my age. I still get a thrill saying those words, my son. But there's so much more to the story. Would it be okay if I tell it to you? Well, Zechariah and I were betrothed in the usual way, at the usual age. We're both from the family of Aaron, so it was a good match, and we got on really well right from the start. I think it's because we both loved the law of God, and we loved talking about what he was going to do. We were passionate about God's great plan. When Zechariah and his friends sat around at night talking, he didn't mind if I just kind of hung around in the background and listened in. And they used to chat and discuss how Israel is oppressed by Rome, how the Hasmoneans are just in it for their own benefit, how God's promises point to a time when everything is going to be put right. They'd argue about whether that time is now or whether it's in the future and what God required of his people for that to happen. And later I'd ask Zach about it. We were determined together to be available for God in whatever way he wanted. But there was a cloud over our lives, and it just grew and darkened as time went on. I guess we just assumed that children would come along. We look forward to bringing them up in the way of the Lord as the Torah tells us to, but nothing happened. Nothing. At first I wasn't too bothered because, hey, having children is risky and dangerous. Many women die in childbirth and many don't get to keep the little ones they have. And so I didn't really mind not having to worry about that for a while. But as the years slipped by, it seemed like we would never have the joy of our own children. And it's worse than that because Zechariah is the priest in our village. He's the leader. He's the one people look up to. And people would whisper and speculate. The priest's wife is barren. They might look righteous, but there must be something secret going on. There must be some sin because God's withholding his blessing. Perhaps Zechariah should put his wife away and find a new one, one that God was pleased with. It was so hard, this disgrace, this stain on our character, these questions. And there's nothing I could do about it, nothing. Again and again, Zach and I prayed. We prayed through Psalm 139 through 19. Show us the sin that we're not aware of. We spoke the promises of Psalm 128, that the blessed of the Lord will receive children. We pleaded over and over. After some years, it just became too painful to do it together. But I continued to pray, and I know Zach did too. And after I got too old to conceive anyway, I guess I just came to accept my shame. I didn't understand it, but I couldn't change it. It became part of who I was and who Zek was in other people's eyes. But you know, underneath it all, there's a tiny voice of hope kept whispering in my ear. What about Sarah? It whispered. What about Hannah? What about Manoah's wife? And so I continued to love and serve the Lord and to trust that he knew my faithfulness, even if others didn't. Now, as a priest, Zach had to travel to Jerusalem once a year for 2 weeks. He travelled into the city, he'd put up in the temple quarters. He'd get fed by the sacrifice portions. And if he was chosen by lot, he got to go in and burn incense in front of the altar. If he didn't, there are plenty of other duties for priests. I always missed him when he went, but he quite likes to go. He gets to catch up with his friends and relatives. And, you know, it beats teaching grubby village boys their psalms. And this particular time, he'd been gone for the 2 weeks, so I was expecting him home any time. When I heard this real commotion outside the house, I went out. It was Zek. He was coming up the hill, but he was surrounded by a crowd. And they're all talking at once. Oh, why Zek didn't just shout at them as he usually did, I didn't know. As they got closer, I started to hear the comments. Hey, Elizabeth, present for you. Zechariah can't say anything. Hey, Elizabeth, like your silent husband? Great improvement, wouldn't you say? I couldn't make head or tail of it. And Zach looked shell-shocked, so I had to do something. I'd had enough. Go home, the lot of you, I shouted. They reluctantly drifted off, and I took Zach into the house. What on earth? Whatever it is, it's not funny. But Zach just looked at me in a sheepish kind of way. He pointed to his mouth and shook his head. Well, it was a long night. It took several tablets, a lot of hand actions, and a lot of patience to get the story. But this is the heart of the story. Zach had been chosen this time to burn incense. And while he was in there, a huge, great, shining man appeared next to the altar and said he was the angel Gabriel. Zach was terrified, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid. Your prayer has been answered. You'll have a son, and you are to call him John." Now, this next bit is just, these words are burned into my heart. I've said them over and over to myself. "He will be a joy and a delight to you. And his birth, many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Wow. That was enough to strike me silent for a while too. The Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in one mighty graceful act is going to take away my shame and is going to rescue Israel. He's going to fulfill all those hidden hopes and dreams of mine. It was amazing. Still didn't quite explain my husband's inability to speak. He finally admitted he may have questioned the angel just a little, and the angel got unreasonably cranky and said he wouldn't be able to speak until it all came true. So remember, it doesn't pay to argue with an angel. Well, everything settled down. It was unusually quiet around the house. We both got very sick of the endless jokes around the village about rabbis who couldn't speak. After a month or two, I started feeling a bit strange. A bit kind of off in the morning, lightheaded and crampy and exhausted. Suddenly it all clicked. I was caught between spiraling joy and excitement and crushing doubt and pure panic. Could I be pregnant? Really? At my age? When I couldn't wait any longer, I snuck off to see the village midwife, and she confirmed my suspicions with shock and disbelief on her face. I can tell you what, I've never been more thankful for the custom of seclusion. What a gift. The news raced around the village like a mad hen. Zach was assailed with joy and congratulations and disbelief and dire predictions and even more bad jokes, while I was safely tucked away, trying to accustom myself to what was happening. My heart and my mind were whirling and swirling just as much as my stomach. God had done this for me. He had shown his favour. He had taken away his disgrace, my disgrace among the people. People would no longer question me or Zach. We were vindicated. We'd gone from being shamed to being honoured by God. I am Sarah. I am Hannah. I am Manoah's wife. God is faithful. Suddenly those stories that were just stories I learned when I was a little girl became so real. I am part of this story. I am Elizabeth. God could have chosen any nice young girl to have his special baby, but he chose to show his grace to me and to Zach, to answer our prayers. And even more exciting, to play this part in God's plan to rescue Israel. Hallelujah! I thought lots and lots about the baby inside. What would this tiny being become? I said his name over and over to myself. John, John, John. It's different. There are no Johns in our village, but I like it. I repeated the angel's words to my baby. Many will rejoice because of his birth, and I'd feel him kick and tumble about. Well, the months went surprisingly fast. My body had a new lease of life as it grew and changed. In the end, I was glad to come out of seclusion and to meet and to share with people. And everyone else had got their head around what was happening, and they were all so excited. Well, the day came, and I got through the birth without too much trouble. And there he was. Big bright eyes, lots of hair, non-stop squirming, an unquenchable thirst for life. He didn't sleep much. He was too interested in the world. And what's more, the whole village was rejoicing with us. We had visitors all day long and gifts and congratulations, and everyone wanted a hold of the special baby foretold by an angel, born to a wrinkly old barren woman. And to congratulate the proud father, he still couldn't say a word. On the eighth day, the whole village gathered together for the circumcision ceremony. When we came to the naming part, the village leaders just barged on forth and assumed we would call the baby after his father. Well, most firstborn boys are. Now, I know it's not the thing for mothers to speak up, but I wasn't having this. We needed to obey the angel. No, his name is John. Typical men, wouldn't take my word for it, insisted on having Zach tell them. So he wrote on a tablet exactly what I had already said. His name is John. And then, for the first time in nearly a year, I heard my beloved husband's rich and beautiful voice. And this is what he said. He stood up in the assembly. He burst forth in a song of praise and prophecy. I'd never seen him do this before. Here are the words. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness for all our days. At this point, Zach stopped and he took John up in his arms and he looked down into those round, blinking eyes. And he said, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Oh, look, the joy, the awe, the celebration. For weeks we were the topic of everyone's conversations. People came from neighbouring villages to see us. It was just mayhem. Well, that was all 2 years ago. I'm so happy. Our little John is the brightest, the strongest, the loudest boy in the village. It's a job keeping up with him, but we don't care because he is a joy and a delight to us. When I see him sitting on Zach's knee as he recites the Torah, my heart is full. Of course, all the consuming speculation about John, it's simmered down. But every now and then I still get questions. What will he become? Could he even be the promised Messiah? I always smile at that question. No, I don't think so. Because you know what? I know the mother of Mary's, of the promised Messiah. It's my cousin Mary. I haven't got time to tell you about it, but Mary came to stay with me while I was pregnant. She said some amazing things. She told me she had seen Gabriel too, told her she would have a baby, and before she was even married. And her baby will be the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel and the whole world. And I just knew what she said was true, not only because of our experience, but because when I first saw her, John did this almighty somersault inside me. And I was filled with words of knowledge and joy and just came tumbling out of me, I don't know where from. Oh, Mary's a darling girl. She's mature for her age. She's passionate and she's feisty. And if anyone's up to bringing up the Messiah, it's Mary. Mary and her husband headed off for Bethlehem for the census where the baby was born and then went on to Egypt for his protection. So I haven't looked on my Messiah just yet. I haven't held him in my arms. But I know he will turn the world upside down. And my John's job will be to prepare the way for him to go on before the Lord, as the angel said. Have you lost hope about something? Do you feel like God has forgotten you or forgotten something you prayed? I know what that feels like. I know how hard that is. But don't give up. And don't stop listening to that tiny voice inside. Let it remind you of everything that God has done for you and for others, and of his promises that everything will be set right, whether in this world or the one to come. Isn't it amazing that God cares infinitely about his big plan for everyone, but also about us small people? He sees us. He hears us. I stand here today as proof of that. And I pray that one day you will too. Thanks for listening to my story.